get here on time, and we try to work at that. It all depends on traffic and weather, we have found. But the hour has come. There's four words. Write them down someplace. Have them before you. And when you read about it here in the scriptures, numerous places really, in a similarity with regard to that phrase, the hour has come. We're reminded that when we sit before the Lord at his table and with him at his table, that it was the ending of an old economy or covenant, and it was the beginning of a new in the era of the church age coming into being. And some great changes took place, and not easy for folks to adjust with regard to them. So here this morning, hours we're together, when we hear the phrase, the hour is come, you know, what does come to our mind? What do we think about? The hour has come. Maybe when it's getting pushing up there toward that noon hour, you're thinking, well, the hour has come to be done here. You know, we got this phrase and this thought in mind. There's some event, some situation, something that's either taking place at this hour or within an hour or within a short time period. But the idea of it is there's something very important to be taking place. So when you come to John in chapter 2, and I'm just pulling out some phrases out of some great events in the life of the Lord. But chapter 2 and verse 4, we have the Lord Jesus is with his mother at a wedding. And he uses this phrase in chapter 2 of John, verse 4. He says to his mother, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." My hour has not come. There's an indication here that my hour is an idea that sets before him something specific, something very important. There's an event up ahead. We often think of the Lord's return, and we use the expression because we believe it from the scriptures. The Lord could return at any moment, any time, any matter of time before us. It's not a matter of saying, well, in 10 years, we got lots of time, or 100 years, or whatever, from this point. But we believe there's that at any moment return with regard to the Lord. And so we have an event here in this time of the wedding, which really is the time of the Lord starting and setting forth with regard to his earthly ministries. We're careful readers of the scriptures, and we are those like to keep in mind that the beginning of his earthly ministry, it says here, where he was showing forth his glory. And he was making it known who he was and the beginning of things. You look down in verse 11, and you can see that in the same chapter. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested, he made known his glory. And his disciples believed on him. So at the very start of his ministry, Jesus says in that beginning, the hour is not yet come, which says, well, there's some hour, event, situation coming that's very important before him. And so he had come for a specific purpose. He has ministries to accomplish before that hour, whatever that's referring to, comes. He's got things to get done. And we take our Bibles and we look ahead historical-wise with regard to it, and you find the Gospel of Luke in chapter 22 and begin thinking about the use of this phrase. Probably about 3 years have gone by since we read of it in John and his record. Chapter 22 of Luke, and here's we are fed this information this morning hour in verse 14 as the Lord enters in to set forth and declare the what we call the Lord's table. Is so we have in 22:14 of Luke, when the hour had come. The Lord said before it had not yet come, but it says here, the hour had come. He sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Very eager and desirous to sit down. And a long teaching time takes place, we found out as we read through the Gospels, and particular in John. There's just a whole lot of teaching. Sometimes we think, well, they sat down, they ate a meal. The Lord did the things that we do here kind of with the Lord's table, and they went out. And that was a long evening. Scripture indicates it indeed was late in the evening when they went out, perhaps toward the middle of the night. But here we have this event that the Lord has put before us, that hour, whatever the significance with regard to it, had come. And then as the final hours of his ministry began, we find Jesus using that phrase again. And I take you back again now to John, where we were a few moments ago, and John chapter 13, if you would, please. John 13, we find this phrase when he said, when John recorded it this way in John 13:1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father. Gives us a clue with regard to that, what the hour is. Having loved his own who were with him in the world, he loved them to the end, or the emphasis, he didn't just love them till he died, but he loved them, the emphasis is as much as possible to be loved, he loved them. And we have that beautiful thought and truth that comes down through the centuries and piles upon us. We're loved as much as can be loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. So the hour had come. And at that time, he established and set up what we think on and do and participate in, we call the Lord's table. Now, at the end of his earthly life, there's that beginning of a totally new era, and it's that of the church age. It's been going on now for about 2,000 years since his death. But keep in mind yet, stick with me yet, just a few hours after this event of 13:1 in John, some hours have gone by. The table's been served and the supper's been had. And they've gone out the door after singing a song together. And it's the middle of the night. You have to keep in mind, I've thought of this last night. I was taking an Amish family home and we're driving their driveway and there's not a light to be seen. It is so dark. And, of course, it was a little rainy, foggy, and all that stuff last night going on. And drove in and let these folks off, and they get off. They don't have a flashlight. I've seen many of them carry them. I think a pretty smart idea. And they go down this path up to their house. It is so dark. I sometimes try to park so my lights from the vehicle shine so they can see a little something. They actually go over a little bridge and stream and up and so on. A wonderful place at night to get in. And I was thinking, dark. How dark, you know, in Gethsemane. So dark. Well, later on we hear when those that come to arrest him, they bring light with them, right? Yeah, bring torches, right? Now that's not an English version of a torch, that is a flashlight. That's a literal torch. Did you ever carry a torch around? Huh? It's kind of interesting. Used to do it as a kid. Wrap some old rags tight as we could around a stick and just a wee bit of gasoline or fuel and light it up, they make a good light. Then they last quite a while. Here they are, come out in the middle of the night. They got their torches as they come to see their way there and find him and arrest him. But here we are in the middle of the night, middle of Gethsemane, and here we are those that would listen in closely. You ever notice that night if you're out and it just seems so quiet around, but if someone's way off a long ways, you can hear them talking, or you hear a dog bark way off. You can be miles away. You hear him at night. And here we have this event, you know, of Christ alone and disciples. Well, we know where they are and what they're doing. Not what they were assigned to do. We were probably much like them. We'd been. I don't know about you, but when it gets 10 o'clock, it just says, time to go to sleep. You got an hour when you go to bed? You're done? No? You all stay up till midnight, right? There's an hour. You know, there's a set. There's something here. Well, here we listen in. We hear off there in the distance, of course, in our case, here centuries later, we hear what's going on. Christ, he's praying alone, dark. The garden. And you find that back in Mark, if you would find your way now back to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. And find your way down to verse 35. Mark 14 and verse 35. We have Christ praying. He is left in verse 33. Peter, James, John, he took along with him, greatly troubled, distressed. Verse 34, he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Well, that's real sorrow, isn't it? Stay here and watch. Here's a watchword for us, you know. The hour has come. What's the hour of the life of this church and its events and situations here as we think down through this today? Says, then he goes on a little further. My wife and I might have mentioned it before, had the opportunity to be in what is considered the Garden of Gethsemane when we were in Israel, and the location that is believed to be where it was, but somber place. He went a little further. What do we see him doing? Falling down. It's kind of like he's just so feeling so weak and so alone and such a burden upon him. And prayed. He prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. This hour, and we believe in reading more and further and thinking on it, of literally going to being on the cross and there bearing our sins. And, you know, I just take a little moment here and just think, you know, Maranatha Baptist Church, you know, we ought to be heard, as it were, on our knees, crying out, Lord, save this church, rescue this from this hour, going through a challenging hour in the history of the church. And we would also pray at the same time, your will be accomplished. Father, we want to work hard together to do that which you planted this church here to do. And it's like in the midst of a dark place, and the world's a dark place, and we have a heart that's crying out to Lord, do a work in our lives, or we'll do a work in the community in which you have placed us. And we don't really want to go through this hour that we're going through, as it were, as a church, but we would think of the hour that Christ went through and the results of the challenges, hurts, difficulties of it, and the fruit of it as time went by, and pray here much with regard to fruit to come. With regard to it, churches often God has them to go through some costly, challenging times in their histories. And for here, the hour has come. This is a challenging time. And the hour has come. You know, in chapter 14 here, where we're at, you move ahead a little bit in Mark 14 down to verse 41. And it says here, for the third time, one, two, three, the third time, he said to the disciples, he's come back here for the third time. Are you still sleeping and resting? Wow. It is enough. I often wonder what he meant by that. You've slept enough? Or what is it? It's enough. The hour has what? The hour has come. Here's that hour. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. So arise, let's go. Betrayer is at hand. We're all apt to get a little sleepy in the Lord's work. In the middle of the time of the biggest needs of the church, we're apt to kind of be weary. We want to do what God would have us to do, and the challenges of the dark world that we live in, it's difficulty. We don't want to be just doing the same old we've always done. We want to do that which, we want to get into that which would breathe that life into the church and its ministries here. We're not a waiting church, you know. Yeah, we are waiting for Christ to come. Yes, that's true. But we're not a waiting church that says, well, we're going to just wait around and wait and do not much of anything, maybe keep some things going until we get a shepherd. But, you know, the greatest thrill for a shepherd is when he'd come and he'd find the flock doing the Lord's business without a shepherd. You know, doing the work in a dark world and carrying on with the regard to all the aspects of it. Great changes were coming to the disciples' lives. Those who loved Jesus, and changes came they never expected as they were following him. And we know that Jesus was saying to his followers, here these, the hour has come. Does that mean it's time to get up and get at him? It could be for them. For Christ, it was the hour has come for the cross. All the horribleness of what that means and holds. But here's the hour for Maranatha Baptist Church and its history. And what are we doing and setting forth to declare and to show? This is the watchword. In this hour, we will be those which will indeed truly be standing up for Jesus and desirous to see it grow. A church can fall into a little bit of a pattern where it's just kind of happy the way things are, and it is a challenge to reach out and to change things. That is, bring folks in that never been in the doors, never have known Christ, never have cared about the things of Christ. And be careful we don't get caught in the rut of the same. So the phrase, my hour has come, was a watchword for all the life of Christ. From the very beginning, we've noted that in John when he said, my hour's not yet come. There was something coming, some event, there was a situation. There was that which was before him, a watchword. And for every local church, there's that of the time, the hour, the ministry, at the time we are in, for his name's sake. William Hendrickson, in New Testament commentary on John, page 115, in fact. He made this comment, and I read it here. The words, "the hour is not yet come," clearly indicate Christ's consciousness of the fact that he was accomplishing a task entrusted to him by the Father. You know, a local church ought to be conscious of the fact that we're here to accomplish a task that we've been entrusted with from the Father. And he goes on to say, every detail of which had been definitely marked off in the eternal decree, so that for each act there was a stipulated moment. Everything in the life of Christ, as he approached the cross, that hour. You know, it's Maranatha Baptist Church is to be accomplishing, working at the task also entrusted by the Father. Kind of humbles the heart, doesn't it? Almighty God given a task to us, to you as a church together, to be the light, the testimony in this area, this community, certainly to those closest by around about the building. An hour has come with regard to being forward with the things of the gospel. Christ's life is spent looking for one particular hour. I pause to think about that. I hope your life is not just filled with looking forward to one particular hour. I'm going to die. Is that the hour you're looking forward to in life? You know? Are there bigger things than that? Greater things? You know, we know when we die, absent here, knowing Christ as Savior, present with him. But what is it for this day and for tomorrow, this hour, this right now, that we're looking forward to? Is that of the hope and the desire, you know, give out a gospel tract and invite them to church? When was the last time you looked someone face to face and said, "I go to Maranatha Baptist Church, and we have great fellowship and a great love, and seek hard to work with the needs, the care of the things of the grace of God. Why don't you come and worship with us?" There's a need for that. There's a must for that. This is the hour, you know, with regard to that. There's something to look forward to next hour. Not worried about what I'm going to eat next. There's plenty to eat. I used to tell folks when we had fellowship meals, I'd say, the fellowship meal is not really for you to eat, you know. What? You know, a fellowship meal is a time for you to invite someone else to come in and sit down with you and show them and be with them and have an opportunity to minister to them. Food is just incidental with regard to fellowship suppers and the gatherings. Well, here, there's an hour. This is the hour we have. And each one of us, this hour, an appointed ministry from the hand of God. The hour has come. It is the hour, significant with regard to the church as it's here. Well, as we get ready to sing some songs and serve the Lord's table here in just a few minutes, you know, Jesus Christ, as he approached that hour, he had to reach that hour. That hour of the cross must come. And nothing is going to keep him from it. And so I think about, you know, all the things he had, as it were, to fight through to get there. He certainly had to fight with Satan. He had to even fight with his disciples. "Be it not so," you know, they told him. He had to fight with fear, I believe. We see that here in the garden. He fought with his family. His family wanted to make him the local hero, you know, make some money off him, I think. He fought with his own countrymen, as it were, the Jews. He fought with a followers a follower's deception, fought with the Gentiles, the kings of the earth. The hour has come. We remember as we partake today that there was a moment, a time that came to Christ. We're remembering the time on the cross when he didn't just die. He died for sinners. I know well enough I'm a sinner that he died for. So in the second little part of our outline, just before we sing, it's time for us to sit together, share the cup, think about the Lord Jesus, remember the Lord has set us apart. An hour has come for the church at this time in history. And I often think when it comes to it of Peter, do you ever think of Peter always wanting to do things his own way? Do you have that issue? I guess I probably do. Peter thought the answer was what? Pull out the sword and protect his friend, his master, his savior. And often we might think, well, we've got our way of doing the things of the Lord, and we've always done it this way. And so Peter is thinking that. So we learn some lessons from him with regard to the here and now, with regard to what Christ did. We're so prone to be just like Peter there in 18 verses 10 and 11 when the hour had come. You remember what happened in Peter's life when the Lord, you know, he had to repent, didn't he? Change of heart with regard to being useful in the hands of the Lord and representing him and being that one that sets forth of who Christ is. It's not about the sword in hand. It's about, indeed, unless you're talking of the Word of God in hand, to give out to somebody. So as we sing a little bit here, let's use the time of the singing to think about the table and the examining of our hearts and what we're going to accomplish for the Lord in this hour of the history of the church and what it's doing right now. So we'll do that. We'll have Jay come, and I don't want to lead songs. You'll wince and leave if I do. Oftentimes, some songs that are based upon Scripture can get our minds thinking with regard to, in this case, we thought of the hour has come. And, there was an hour that came when Christ set up and established. That was brand new, really, on the face of the earth, the Lord's table and the commencement of the church age. And then all that was going to take place in it, the history of so many things down through John with regard to this time. And so we get to share here together to be obedient to the Scriptures and do that as believers needing these reminders to be thinking upon as we've sung the songs of the cross, the price, and what took place there. And so we're reminded from the Scriptures in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, where Paul giving instruction, information to the church, he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and he carried through with regard to what we refer to as a communion time, a close time, the Lord's table, and the giving out of the bread and the thanks for it, and the sharing of the cup with all, then as a reminder of his in the body giving his life by the shedding of his blood. No one took it from him. He gave his life. We have this reminder that to do it till the Lord comes. There's an hour coming. They that are in the grave will what? Hear the voice, sound of God. We which are alive and remain. Well, we're still thinking we'll be alive and remain, right? When the Lord comes, still upon our minds. But maybe some of us from among us will not be here. We believe he'll come at any moment. So here's a time to remember the life of Christ, particularly the death of Christ and how the death took place and what will yet take place. This is sure as Christ's first coming took place and his death took place, the same surety is there for his any moment next coming. And so we remember that, think upon that here, even at this time. And so let's return thanks here, and I'll ask Don to return thanks for the bread here as we think about the Christ giving his perfect body. Or should be one in which there is a contemplation of the day. You know, breakfast comes from the idea of break fast. You know, you got your cup of coffee and a sinful donut in your hand and off you go to work or something and, you know, break fast. And here when it comes to supper time, though, it's kind of the idea of, well, you're thinking about the day and what went on and events, situations, and maybe what's coming. So it is. It's a time when it's not some kind of a big hurry, get it done, but it's remembrance. It's time to, you know, pull some things in and think about things that have gone on. And maybe could have gone on. We say, oh, this had happened or that. But here it is. It's just a precious time of being together. And we follow through on what it has, as it says, that it was in the same manner that he also did with regard to the cup and supper here. So we'll just carry through and return thanks and are thankful indeed for what the cup speaks of and represents. And Jay, would you just lead us in prayer here, please? And then playing off that same word, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show, you declare, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes, the expectancy of his coming. One way to express some loving thanks with regard to who the Lord is and what he's done, and an offering is never to try to pay back the Lord or get something. But here's a time of giving, even out of perhaps our own needs, to be ready to help others in their times of need, or perhaps even one among us in a time of need. And so here a love offering, a few dollars, adds up and be used as a great testimony for the Lord. So we'll pray here and receive this offering. Thank you, Father. Well, the hour has come to conclude the sermon. I'm sure that makes quite sad. But you'll work your way through it here, I'm sure. But our third little point, you know, as you think about what we've talked about, read in the scriptures, we're reminded here that an hour is coming when each one of us will give an account to him who has redeemed us and with whom we have to do, as expression is used. For us, we would think any hour, every hour is a great time for Christ to come. Even so, what do we say? Come, Lord Jesus. We're always upon our hearts and minds. But the hour has come. Is that an evidence upon our hearts and minds, you know, with regard to serving him in this age, in this era, in this situation time with regard to our church. So we ought to maybe at the end of each week, you know, we said the supper times, an examination time, a thinking time, a looking back over the daytime, and maybe Sunday a time of looking back over the week and thinking, was there a time, an hour this week that somebody was invited by my lips to come and worship? Was somebody given an invitation, perhaps a gospel tract, or just talk too cheerfully for a few moments? The hour there is before us. This is the hour. Maybe even just that thought, hey, I could give an hour a week. You ever think about it? 1 hour, 1 week. Invite someone, talk to someone, encourage someone with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he is and his preciousness with regard to yours. So the pickup watchword we have, Christ said, for this hour I came into the world, you know, and for us as well who are believers in Christ, been made believers by the shed blood of Christ. Also, for this cause we came into the world, to speak of Christ, declare him. We're not a church that's just sort of waiting around for things to happen. In fact, I've thought about kind of preaching on that the last Sunday of the year. That's this year, not next year. Waiting. We're not very good at waiting, and yet in other things we're very good at. Maybe too good. Going this hour, 1 hour, with regard to the message we say we believe in, our life really is depending upon that message of the cross. And that's to share with others. We'll pray. Our Father, apply your words to our hearts.